song.
You gotta sing. You gotta lead us.
So, this is my son, Seth, and he's gonna lead us in a song that's got to do with a lesson. And then when that's over, we'll get started. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's sing I Need Your Love.
Oh, I need your love in this shadowed place. I can't get enough of your sunlight on my face. When it's cold and dark, or I'm far from home, you are in my heart, and I never walk alone. And just like a tree planted by a stream, I'm thirsty for a drink of your love. I can't face a day without some time to pray. I sing this song to say I need your love. Your love makes me strong when I'm small and weak. And the whole day long, you'll speak through me when I speak. And just like a tree planted by a stream, thirsty for a drink of your love. Sing this song to say I need your love. You gave all for me when I cursed your name on that bitter tree. Lord, you suffered for my shame. How can I thank you? Your love made my and all that I can do is live for you every day. And just like a tree planted by a stream, I'm thirsty for a drink of your love. I can't face a day without some time to pray. I sing this song to say I need your love. And just like a tree planted by a stream, thirsty for a drink of your love, I can't face a day without some time to pray. I sing this song to say I need your love.
Amen. You guys can take a seat if you're standing. All right, let's open up. Or maybe you can't. Let's pray.
Amen.
God, we know that if our roots get in that water of yours, the rest of the tree will be fine. God, it won't fear when He comes. It will bear fruit. Its leaves will always be green. And God, it is going to be a strong tree. God, I pray that this class will help us in that way with our roots being in your water, God. God, that our trust and our confidence in you will soar so that we don't end up like that wasteland, God, and miss prosperity when it comes. God, we pray that this class will glorify you and honor you. Be with us. And Lord, just help us to help each other to keep thriving and striving after the conference.
Amen.
We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, housekeeping. We do have a phone that we're going to auction off if no one claims. It's got lots of cracks in it. Anybody? I'll put it up here under the... microphone here if you need it. All right, so here we go. Thrive class. Starting right on time. Amen. Give yourselves a hand for being on time. Wait a minute. All right. So we are in the final home stretch of the day. It's late. You traveled late. You got up early. You've listened to hours of classes and sermons. And yet you decided to come here and sit on the floor. All right? So my question is, why? Why would you come? What's going on? What is it that you guys want to get out of this class? Anybody?
The title sounded inspiring.
Okay, so she gets a little present for that. Now that's pretty encouraging because Steve Schopp wrote the title. I'm hoping there's another reason, but if the title just got you guys, then amen, you're here. Go. Okay, so after the conference, we can drop our guard and then end up the same place where we started, right? All right, good job, all right. We got someone in the back, go ahead, nice and loud. Yeah, stand up.
Just want to be excellent in all areas. So I know if you thrive here, you thrive being great parents, great wives, husbands, so that's my goal. Excellent in all areas, so you spread in all areas.
Hey, so you want the thrive to come down and spread out.
Yeah.
I like that. That could be a point. Oh, short. That was just... Okay, next one. Okay, go ahead.
I want to thrive all the way to heaven. I want to get to heaven. I want to make it.
Thrive all the way to heaven. Slow and steady wins the race, right? Just keep going. Awesome. Okay, here we go. Good job. Yes, Josh.
I want consistency. I want to be able to be consistent.
Yes.
As I move forward.
You guys, Josh wants to be consistent.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Who else? Yes. Right there.
I want to strive to an elastic change where no matter what storm comes my way, that I can continue to follow through.
All right. So make it through the storms. Awesome. Just so you guys know, these are ring pops. I mean, these are sugar, okay? At 3 o'clock, like, you want one of these, okay? Go ahead. Changes that last, all right. Oh, yeah, it hits right here. That was like a foul ball catch. You know, changes that last, right? So we're going to talk about what gets in the way of lasting change today. We're going to talk about some of the evil demons that get in there and steal that. Okay, I saw one more hand go up. Anybody? Yes?
I want to make change despite how I'm feeling on a particular day.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't want to just go by your feelings? All right, we got to change despite of feelings. Awesome. Yes.
I don't want to be just religious. I want to be spiritual.
Not just religious, but spiritual. All right, good job.
Amen.
Yes.
I want to drive now and then take it back to my campus because I'm from Maryland.
You're from Maryland? Really? Come on. And you want to travel with the Thrive and then unleash it.
Yeah. Take it back to me and my campus and then just like thrive from there.
Unleashing Thrive just everywhere you go. Spurting it out. Good job. Okay, yes. All right. Thrive in the walk with God. Watch the roots. There you go. Okay, one more. Go ahead.
I want to make changes in things that I've been doing since childhood that I didn't think that I could change anymore.
Ooh, so like the blockage to thrive. Bust through it and then wear it. Right? Keep it going. All right, I like that. That's short too. That was bad. Okay, hold on, wait. All right, so I think we can get to some of that stuff. We're going to have some good time here. So again, the name of this class is Keep Thrive Alive Long After the Conference is Over. Hence, all the way to heaven, right? All the way to heaven, thriving all the way to heaven. So here we go. I had this time. I wanted to ask you guys, this is a picture just a few weeks ago. Wow, something really happened here. We have any AV people? Okay. Hopefully it'll go away. So a couple weeks ago, I had a great chance. My son wanted to go to Yosemite as a college graduation present. So this is us summoning Yosemite right here. It's beautiful, isn't it? I didn't do anything differently.
Oh, is it going to be that song?
That's the recorder. What if I turn it off and turn it on? There it's off, and... Hey! I think that works.
Hey.
All right. Woo-hoo. Reset. Okay. Leave this.
Take it off.
Wait. I'll try one more time. Hold on. Might be a little too close to the computer. All right. So, anybody else here like to climb mountains? Get to the top? Right? Good time? Why do you think people call conferences... Why do they compare them to mountaintop experiences? Why do you guys think people... Go ahead.
Face our fear.
All right, we face our fears, but you're afraid of going to conferences usually? I'm just asking. Right. So we climb a mountain, it can be kind of scary, right? But they call... Some people refer to conferences mountaintop experience, right? Like we're at the very top, kind of similar to here. Why the comparison? Go ahead. Okay, so you're getting away from real life. It's kind of fake life, right? Right? You got one of these tags on. It's a little bit like fake life, isn't it? Like, oh my gosh, getting hugged in the street, getting hugged in the elevator, right? It's a little bit like fake life. Good job. Oh, okay. Yes.
We feel like we're on the top of the world when we're, you know, meeting so many people and all these classes and stuff and everything, all the energy, and it's like, you know, you feel at the top.
Yes. Okay, so the energy, the fellowship, the topics, right? It's like a brainwash, isn't it? It's a good brainwash. We wash our teeth every day, hopefully, right? And we come to a conference and it's like, it just washes our brain, right? The Word of God, the Bible talks about how it washes us. Similar to getting up there, right? It's like you don't see any Walmarts, you don't see any Starbucks or anything. It's just God's beauty. You come to a conference and it's God's beauty, right? Wasn't it beautiful just seeing everyone today, right? Old friends, new friends. It's an amazing experience and it's just, it's good. We need to do this. And so I just want everyone to practice just take in a breath from the mountain right now. Ready? That wasn't loud enough. Ready? One more. All right, now don't fall asleep. All right. But inevitably, what has to happen?
Back to reality.
Back to life. Come on. Back to reality. All right, yes. So this is a picture of your small group here, okay? They've been to the summit, they've been thriving, but now they're heading downhill into the valley, into some crazy things. And the goal, as all of you have had, is let's thrive when we go down there. But sometimes the reality is we get back to surviving real quick, don't we? It's like, thrive, 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 4 phone calls, 6 texts. Boss called, and you're hanging on again by the pinky. You're like, what happened, right? What the heck? And then, unfortunately, sometimes it's nosediving. You know, we can go to a conference and we can get our hopes up about some changes that we want to make, and without a system, without a plan, right, we can end up nosediving, a little depressed, actually, that it went so quickly. Or that we're back home again, and, we miss the singing, we miss the thriving. Some of you, anyone live like over 45 minutes from the church that you drive to on Sunday? Right? So we got some travelers here. This is nice just walking to things, isn't it? Just walking in here in a few minutes. And so that's what can happen when we come to these things. And, Moses coming down the mountain, face shining, right? Ran into a little bit of trouble coming down the mountain, didn't he? Right? Just this little thing called a golden calf, not a big deal, right? Aaron did it, his right-hand guy, you know, future priest of the entire movement. But hey, you come down the mountain, you don't know what you're going to find, right? You're like, Dave, push the slide. Sorry, I can see them both on my thing. There we go. Moses. How about Elijah, right? Like, you can come to a conference and you can be like, bring on the 450 prophets of Baal, right?
Yeah.
Bring on my 450 sins, right? All the things I struck, come on, we're going to slay them right now. And then Elijah, just a few days later, was running for his life, asking to die, and just really got kind of burned out. So you never know what's in the valley, but what's so great is that what we're going to do today is really talk about one of the things is how to take all this information and go away with transformation. We don't want to just leave the conference with a lot of information, right? We want to leave the conference like, hey, this was great, that was great. Okay, now what does that mean for my life? How do I put that into practice? And let's make it happen. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a time out. Everybody go like this. Time out. Hold on, baby. All right? Because we're going to get to some of that work now. I know I can be guilty of crazy procrastination. I can go to, especially if I go to a conference on the other coast. Oh, yeah, I'll look at my notes on the way home in the plane. And then I'm in my seat and I got my notes out and then someone's got a movie on next to me and I'm like this. Yeah. And I can't hear anything, but I'm just like... Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then like, and then again, you get home and then there's the treadmill and oh yeah, I'm going to do this and that. So what we're going to do is roll up our sleeves a little bit today and get started on transformation. You guys excited about that?
Yeah.
All right, so hopefully you have a pen. Hopefully you have a pad. I brought about 100 of them, so we probably ran out a little bit. But I do want to preface it by saying this. I am a very spontaneity guy. I like that, actually. I prefer that. Spontaneity. I know some people, when it comes to it's not a good or bad thing, but you're someone who you process a little slower. And so some of these questions might seem overwhelming, but don't let them be. If you only get through one or two, that's okay. Just write them down and you can finish later. For those who are more spontaneity, you're going to be like, woohoo, 6 questions, I love it. We got any spontaneous people in here? All right, all of you, come up. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so just do your best. This isn't like, you know, just do your best with this. So here we go. Here's your 6 questions. I want to go, wow. All right, so I want to go through this with you. We also are having this taped, so if you're listening at home, I want to read these questions to you. And I will be asking for your email. If you want this presentation sent to you, I will send it to you. So at the end, on the last page of that journal I gave you, you can put your name and email, cell phone, you know, number, and so forth. I will send you this presentation PDF, okay? So question number one, something that's encouraged me about this conference so far is, that's the easy one, right? Start off easy. Hopefully something encouraged you. About the conference so far. Number two, a takeaway or two from this conference so far is this. Not your number one takeaway, like, don't spend the whole 5 minutes, like, what's the most... No, just something, one or two things that, you know what, to thrive, to get to heaven, to make the changes, all the things you guys started with, that's what hit me so far in these classes I've gone to, is this. Number three, an aha moment that happened to me when I realized, like, oh my gosh, you know, something aha for you. Number four, this is a good one. If I could wave a realistic magic wand, I would wish for the following things for myself. This is what that question's saying. If you had a realistic magic wand and you could just go boop, what would change in your character? What would change in your life? Not so much circumstances, but that's fine if you want to, but your character, your spiritual self. If you could just go boop. Like, maybe for you it's your purity, and you're just like, man, I'd be the purest person in the world. Or maybe it's your discipline, right? Maybe it's something going on. So that's what that question number four is. Number five, with that wish granted, so now we're past tense, it's done, the magic wand worked, what would that do for you to have that change in place? And then number six, what would be the best part about that change in your life? So what I'm going to do is I got a timer up here. We're going to go for 5 minutes. Again, this is roll up your sleeve. This is information to transformation, right? It takes to think through these things. Go for it. I'll let you know when the 5 minutes is up. All right, how are we doing? Good? Anybody need more time?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Minute, 7 seconds. You're doing great. This is the hard work, you guys. This is the hard work. It's like, what is it? Where am I going? What's that change? Alright, 15 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. There you go, timer done. Okay. Alright, so here's what we're gonna do. How was that for you? How'd you guys like that experience? Experiment, good? All right. So here's what I ask you to do. It's not going to be that hard because we're pretty packed in here. But turn to the person that you don't know in your closeness. And just here's what we're going to do. It's very, try to speak a little lower. But about 1 minute each, share 4, 5, and 6 with each other. Okay? So in about a minute, I'll say, okay, switch. So go ahead and find someone you don't know, if you can, and then someone go first and share 4, 5, and 6. I tried and I tried. I tried and I tried until I found the Lord. My soul just couldn't be content. My soul just couldn't be content. My soul just couldn't be content. No! Until I found the Lord. All right. How was that?
Yeah.
It was good?
Yes.
All right. So my question is this. My question is this to you. How do you get that without the magic wand? So, think about that while I introduce you to my friend Hector, okay? Some of you might have seen this last night, but we're going to talk about Hector for a second. So the gentleman you're about to see, his name's Hector, wanted to ride his bicycle across the country to raise money for a young child with special needs. Knowing that he'd probably get a flat along the way, he knew that he'd have to figure out how to fix that flat himself. So pay attention to see if you can figure out why that might have been challenging for this guy. Guy with no hands to change a racing bike tire without a magic wand, how many of you would Believe me. I wouldn't believe you. I got a friend who's done 7 Ironmans who still can't change a tire, okay? That's hard to do with 2 hands and 10 digits and lots of time. Something to know about him, he was not born that way, without arms. He was working on a transformer when 13,000 volts of his body went through his body twice. And he fell 2 stories and became a double arm amputee. And you think about him doing that. You think about how long it took him. You think about the steps and all the different times he could have been thinking about himself, missing his arms, all that he couldn't do. He exchanged that for things that he could do. And if you can imagine somebody like, well, I bet I could get the tire off, right? And maybe that took 4 hours, right? Well, maybe I could, if I got the tire off, I bet I could get the, if I stuck it in my mouth, you know? I mean, it's amazing, right? And the thing that I wanted to just really try with you guys is as we talk about thriving, it's all about thriving is in the now. Right? Thriving is in the now. Thriving is something that we do now, as opposed to something that, you know, we can, you know, we do, you know, just, it's good to think about thriving to heaven, don't get me wrong. It's good to think about thriving when we get home. It's good to see our vision of that, right? And even that thing that you really wanted to change, that you wrote down, but here's the thing, what are you going to do about it now? What are you going to do about it right this second? So let's try an experiment, all right? I'd like everyone to close your eyes for a second. All right, no one's going to do anything weird, just trust me. And everybody try as hard as you can to thrive yesterday. Just like really focus. Maybe put your fingers together and try to thrive yesterday. Okay, open your eyes. How many were able to do that? Anybody? Okay, so thriving yesterday is more of a feature. Close your eyes again. Try another experiment. All right. Now, try to thrive tomorrow. Just go for it. Okay, open your eyes. How many were able to do that? Maybe you saw yourself doing something right, but you're like, this isn't working, right? And if you think about it, Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, he said what? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Right? And then what did Paul say in Philippians 3:14? He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me to. And he says, you know, it's like thrive is in the now. And it's like, even if you're like this tree right here, right? And like, I've been a disciple 30 years. And I can relate to the hard wood on the side, the crustiness, right? The deadness, going through year after year as disciples, ups and downs of circumstances, right? Getting cut off, like sometimes at the waist by circumstance, right? And so maybe that's you, that little part coming back up through the middle, right? You're at this conference, and you're like, you know, it's been a little dry, I gotta be honest. It's been a little challenging. This has happened, that has happened. I ran into a sister today, and she's like, my husband left me. Tears in her eyes. It's just happened. So I get it. But you come to a conference and you're like, but you know what? I feel a thumping. I feel the little green tree coming back, right? You know, I feel like we can really go, but the only way that's going to happen is in the now. It's right now. Okay? It's right now. And the thing is that when you think about thriving, you know, when I think about thriving is I think about Jesus on his way to heal someone, and then someone touches him. And what's he do? He stops. He stops, and what's he say? Who touched me? And they're like, what do you mean, Jesus? You're in a crowd. It's kind of like this room right here. Who's talking to me? But see, thriving to Jesus was like, it's right now. It's this moment. It's this moment. Someone touched me in this moment. Who was it? Come on, do you see that? He's like, no. And then he waited so long that the woman had to come trembling before him, didn't she? Yeah. And he found out her story, and he found out what was going on. And he thrived in that moment. Yeah. And that woman was healed because of it. She got to meet Jesus. Yeah. Think about the Good Samaritan, right? What's really going on there? You think the Good Samaritan was thinking, I know it's a story, but just let's personify it for a second. Let's bring it to life. Do you think he was thinking, okay, today here's my day. I'm going to thrive today. I'm going to find a random guy just beat up half dead on the road. And then I'm going to bring him here and then like the story. Do you think that's what he was thinking? No, but let me tell you this. Was he thinking this? I'm going to be open to the moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to be open to the moment.
Come on.
Those other two religious guys, were they thriving? No, why? Because they were in their head about 2 hours forward.
Yeah.
That's what I realized about myself. Even in the day, I got the boundary on the left, which is yesterday, right? So I'm in today. But then I can run 6 hours ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm not thriving. Because I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going, okay, what's after this class? What are we having for dinner? You know, maybe those thoughts are rushing through your head. And guess what? You're not thriving in this class right now. Push it off.
Yep.
Push it off. You know, today, it was convicting. My son convicts me. He shares his faith everywhere he goes. And I'm always like, come on. Oh, Seth's talking to someone again. Like, come on, get in the car. So we all get in the car, and then we wait for Seth. And then he's got, okay, how was it? And then yesterday, he's like, yes, this was at a rest stop on the stinking highway somewhere. He's like, yeah, the couple just started looking for new churches, and they just started their first church search Sunday. And they're open to coming to our church. You know? That's thriving in the moment. So today I went for a prayer walk and there's some homeless people by the train station. You know? Of course, what did I want to do? I want to get back. I want to work on a message. I want to do this. But I was like, no. I just talked about this last night. I'm going to stop. Hey, what's your name? How's it going? You know? Where's this? Where's that? And just talking and enjoying that moment, because that's what thriving is all about. We can overwhelm ourselves, can't we? Well, I'm going to thrive. Here's my thrive plan, and planning is good. It's in the Bible. But plan and then come back to right now. Right now. We can spend a lot of time like this. Although physically we're like, hey, what's up? Spiritually we can be like this. If you're listening to this at home, we've got a man with a hand on his face feeling very sad. Can you relate, though? It's like, dog. Maybe you fell into sin, a familiar sin. Maybe you just lied. You know, maybe you just blew an opportunity or you forgot to pay your phone bill and turning it off. But you did something and it's in the past and it's nagging you. And then sometimes we can be like this. Right? This can be our mind. Now, I know they say women have the spaghetti brains and men have the drawers. I know they do. But guys can be like this too, all right? Like, so it's like, so Dave, what are you doing today? And this is what's in my mind. Right here. A big ball of yarn, you know? And I'm like, where do I start? Okay, I'll just check Facebook. What's on eBay? Did my watch sell? You know, 2 hours go by. I'm like, shoot, I gotta get back to my ball of yarn. You know? And so we were having a talk one night. We're going to talk about in a minute. I do mastermind groups. It's up to 8 people. We get on the computer, do Zoom. It's really fun. It's a 7-week series, and we help each other spiritually. We work through a book. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, we were having a mastermind group, and there was a gentleman there, and he comes in, and he struggles with joy. He struggles to be thriving. And so I asked him one night. I said, the whole group was together, and I asked him, is it okay if we have a conversation? He said, absolutely. I said, so what percentage of the time would you say you think about the past, like during the day? He's like, probably about 60%. I said, okay. I said, how much time do you spend thinking and worrying about the future? Because he's 55, he's single. You know, how much time do you spend thinking about the future? And he's about 50%. I said, okay, so you spend, I think we're out of percentage points here. But these hands, do you see this guy?
Yeah.
Those hands represent your regrets and your worries. Your regrets of the past and worrying about tomorrow. And that's our little Thrive buddy right there in between them. Going, no! Don't let them come together! Don't smash me! How are you going to change the tire if all you can worry about is your arms getting blown off? How are you going to learn how to get the tire off the bike if all you worry about is how you're going to feed yourself the next day, or who's going to hire someone like you? We all have situations, don't we? Your arms might not have gotten blown off, but we've all got our stuff. You put your hands together, pretend all your stuff's in your hands. You want to share that with someone? You want to take their stuff? Sometimes we do, don't we? But then we realize everybody's got their stuff. And so that is thriving right there. That's your battle. To just be in the moment and realize that, man, this big journey of going to heaven, this big journey of winning my town, this big journey in my career, Sean Summer Camp, right? Moving up in my career and being more professional and all these different things. It starts with small, tiny, thriving steps. Do you think, and we're not going to do it, you could thrive for the next 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You think you could do that?
Yeah.
Remember when we were fighting with our purity, we're becoming Christians, and we're like, whoa, not even a hint of sexual morality? Are you serious? Like, is that real? Like, treat her like my sister? Are you kidding me? Being sober? You kidding me? But you remember this challenge? Can you be pure today? Can you be pure till noon? Can you stay sober until 3 o'clock? Yes, I can do that. Can you thrive for the rest of this class?
Yes.
Amen! Don't worry about when it's over. Because guess what? There might be someone laying half dead on the sidewalk outside that you need to go take care of, like the Good Samaritan. Not need to, but that you decide to. So we don't know what's going to happen after this class. And all we have is right now, this moment. And you know what that allows us to do? You know what I told that brother, going back to those hands? I said, bro, so here's the deal. What if we do this? What if we steal about 30% of your focus of the past? And we pull it into the middle of now. And then we steal 30% of your worry about tomorrow, and we pull it into the present. And what if you had an extra 60% of energy for right now? What would that do for your life? And he smiled.
Yeah.
He started feeling a little loose, you know? He started being like, yeah, that'd be great. All right. Let's start with 5%. Just chip away. Because worry and regret are trying to hijack your thrive. They are trying to hijack. That's what you're going to... That's the cloak that Satan wants to put around you down the mountain as you're hiking down. He wants to put those heavy rocks of worry and regret in your backpack so that it crushes you by the time you get home. But if we just move forward step by step, little piece by little piece, right? Again, just how many days do you think it taught him to get the inner tube out of the tire? To put the little valve on with his foot and push it down? That's hard with your hands. That could have taken 2 weeks. Just that one part. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what happens a lot of times, we can label ourselves. Oh my gosh, we Velcro those puppies on there. Loser, not good enough, not smart enough, don't have a voice. You know, I'm the third child, I'm the second child, I'm the oldest child, I'm no child. I don't know. I mean, it's like we put all these labels and instead of going, you know what, hold on a second, we can figure this out. We just got to break it down in small enough pieces. Anybody in here feel like you've got a procrastination problem? Time management problem? Okay, all you people who raise your hand, hold on for a second. Can you get to the airport on time?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you can get to the airport on time. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a time management problem? No, you have a mission problem. When your mission is to get to the airport, you don't take that call. You don't take that text. You're like, I'm going to the airport. I'll call when I get there. Do you know why Hector wanted to ride across the country? He wanted to raise money
for a little boy with no hands. And he was willing to put that bike tire in his mouth to do it. Mm-hmm. When we're unfocused, and I am that person, I am ADD to the hilt, and I'm distracted all over the place. But I read this book by this guy, and it said, he's talking about his ADD, and he's talking about his distraction, his time management issues, but he goes like this, he goes, but if I want to go buy a car, he goes, that car's in my driveway by the end of the day. I almost fell over my chair. I was like, that's me too. So it's not that I have these problems, it's just focusing. Focus, focus, focus. Go, go, go. Action changes things. Make today amazingly ridiculous. Last night we talked about getting in the elevator, right? Can you thrive in the elevator? Can you be nice to, can you notice the people in there? You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I can do that. Great, then you just do that and you go for it. And you see how quick your thrive catches on fire. Then we talked about this. He had a mission. What are you clear on your mission? Are you clear on what you're really trying to do? That's what goes on with us. You know, discipline sometimes is like we can study discipline, discipline, discipline. And The Discipline Life is a great book. But if you don't have passion and you don't have a mission, what are you being disciplined for? Man, you give yourself, you say, okay, I'm going to raise $20,000 for this little boy who's got no hands so he can get prosthetics. You've got some discipline about yourself. You're going to figure it out, right? And so check yourself on that. I love this quote by Bruce Lee. The successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. Anyone here ever feel average? You can fight Bruce Lee. You just have to be more focused than him. Good luck on that. The man plays ping pong with nunchucks, okay? You've ever seen it? Yeah. Don't do it right now, but go to YouTube and Bruce Lee plays ping pong with nunchucks.
Insane.
Yes, it's crazy. But it's focus. It's average. I'd rather be an average man with laser-like focus than, you know, a great man with no focus. I'd rather be okay talented with laser focus than have all the talent in the world but never put it together. And unfortunately, I have told my subconscious mind, you're not good at names. You're not good at time management. You don't get things done on time. You always procrastinate. You always wait till the last minute. And guess what the subconscious mind loves to do? Say, okay, you know, you can't remember your own name. Hi, my name is, I'm bad with names. I'm like, I'm killing myself. Hey, how you doing? And then you shake your hand. As soon as they say their name, you know you're not going to remember it, so you don't even listen. It's just a formality. So I've had to say, no, I am good at remembering names. Tell myself, you know, I'm good at remembering names. It takes me some time for them to come up, but I can do it. And then all of a sudden, I just took the front wheel off the bike. It's a skill. It's a skill. Things, and Steve Martin believes that comedy is a skill. It's not just something you're born with. It's a skill that you can learn. It just takes focus. And we live in a society of massive distractions. Do you guys realize that mail used to come once a day? Does anyone remember that? Mail used to come once a day. And I was too young to really get excited about that. There was never anything in there for me, but I just knew my grandfather loved it. You know, he'd watch for the mailman, and the mailman would come, he'd run out. You know, we get mail every 10 seconds. It's like, boom! And we're like, oh, someone gave me something. Let's see what it is. But unfortunately, we can start off like that guy right there, 100%. But all those things are draining our energy. And they're keeping us from thriving. I can't get all into it, but I've been searching to change this
for years. And I figured out through books and journals and cool stuff that I can work for about 36 minutes straight before my head falls off. So my goal every day is to at least work four blocks of 36-minute completely uninterrupted time. Phone upside down, no buzzing, emails off, internet's off, and just focus for 36 minutes. It about kills me, but I'm getting better at it. Maybe one day I'll get to 37 minutes. But it's been so revolutionary. And then I get a 10-minute break. And I'm like, oh, I get a break. And I walk around, and I'm like, yes. And then I sit down, and I'm like, okay. It's like, okay, put the phone down. No, check one more time. Okay. And then boom, go for 36 minutes. We got to figure this out, don't we? Thriving is something that's personal. Thriving is something that's in the now. Thriving is something that we can't get distracted on. We got to stay focused. And I love this quote. No problem can withstand the assault of sustained thinking. No problem can withstand the assault of sustained thinking. Doesn't that remind you of the tire? Right? It's like, I just need to think more about it. I can do it. I can do it with no hands. I can figure out how to do it. Not to mention the guy's a half Ironman finisher. He does half Ironman, swims on his back, puts his legs together. You know? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, no problem can withstand the assault of sustained thinking. And we're disciples. We've got a connection to God. We got the Holy Spirit saying things that we don't even know what to say. So it just fills in for us. How much more? Right? I mean, isn't... Think when the disciples, when people were hungry, right? And like the disciples were like, send them home. What was Jesus saying? No, have them sit down right now. We're going to figure this out right now. Don't we like to put stuff off? Yeah. Procrastinators, right? Yes, get started! Get started! You want to write a book? Get started! Write the book! I can't write the book. I don't know how to write a book. No, write. Just start. Boom, boom. Stephen King says, amateurs wait for motivation. Wow. He's like, professionals just get to work. Wow. You know what's really interesting? So right now, my son got me, we had a chance to do a triathlon together. I'm doing one in Atlantic City in a couple weeks coming up. And here's what's interesting. I always feel different about biking, running, and swimming. I feel different when I start. Like, swimming is like, for an ADD person, you go ping-ponging back up and down the pool. It's close to, like, I'm going to jump off a bridge kind of thing. You know, doom, 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 doom. You're like, how many more times am I going to go up and down? And then running. And then biking sometimes, it's like just pedaling, not going anywhere, just trying to rack up miles. I always feel different about starting, but you know what? I always feel the same when I finish. I always feel the same when I finish. We wait, you know, someone said earlier about emotions. We wait for our emotions instead of acting and then knowing that that's when the emotions come. It's after the action. So thrive is in the choice. Are you guys still with me?
Yeah.
We got 8 minutes left. Here we go. All right, thrive is in the choice. What do I mean by that? Jeremiah 17. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when He comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Would you guys congeal with me that that is a thriving situation right there? Right? You guys with me there? What are the two things that make it thrive? Trust in the Lord and confidence in Him, right? So let's see what happens. Ah, beautiful. Right? Would you be okay with that? Going home? Thriving? That's a picture of your spiritual life? Thriving, right? So here's the thing. Here are the attributes. Here's the effect of the roots being near the water. You're fearless against temperature, circumstance. What's going on outside? Fearless. You are healthy. Your leaves are always green. You're confident. You don't worry about if it doesn't rain for a year. You're peaceful. You're enjoying the consistent source of your strength, and you're fruitful, you're productive, you're making things happen. This is the result of being someone who controls what they can control and focus on what they can focus on and let the rest happen. Where are your roots? So you want to know what your Thrive score is? Your Thrive score is rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10 in these five areas. Okay? 1 being like fearless. So 1 being like I am the scaredest person in the world. As a matter of fact, when I see myself in the mirror, I want to run. Okay? 10 being like you're bold as a lion. You know, you'll share your faith anywhere on a train, you know, on the rooftops, you'll do whatever. So that's the scaling system. 1 being I'm not healthy at all. I'm not taking care of myself. You know, my leaves are not green. I don't trust God that I can leave work an hour earlier, or I haven't figured out my health. You know, so that would be a 1. A 10 would be, you know, I've got that balance and I'm taking care of myself. So go ahead and do that. Just take a few seconds from a scale from 1 to 10, and we're going to figure out our Thrive score. Do you have a question?
Oh, slide back up.
Yeah. Thank you. I saw both on the screen. So once again, you're rating yourself on fearless, healthy, confident, peaceful, and fruitful. Be gentle with yourself, but be honest. It's okay. You don't have to show this to anybody. Fearless, healthy, confident, peaceful, and fruitful. Once you're done, go ahead and add those numbers up and divide by 5. Once you're finished, go ahead and add your numbers up and divide by 5, and that will be your Thrive score. We want to thrive when we go home, right? All right, so now that gives us like, okay, this is what's going on. It's a root situation, right? It's what's happening based on where we're rooted. That's what that number represents, give or take, you know, half a point or whatever. All right. So again, here are the attributes of the tree. That's your Thrive score. And I want to talk to you about how it's a choice. So have you guys heard of, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. It's an amazing book if you haven't read it. And what he talks about is this concept of stimulus and response. Anybody here ever feel like someone pushes your buttons or something pushes your buttons? Just raise your hand. Yeah, like, oh my gosh, this pushes my buttons. Or how about triggers? This triggers me. When this happens, forget it, right? So what happens is we say that because this stimulus automatically brings about this response. Does that make sense? Like when this happens, it's like pushing a button and I automatically do this. Okay? And so here's what Viktor Frankl said after being in, he was an Australian neurologist, a psychiatrist, he was a Holocaust survivor, he was in the Holocaust for 2.5 years, and here was his conclusion after watching, like, basically 90% of everyone he was in camp with died eventually. He said this: between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So here's what we've got to do. Here's stimulus, here's response. We got to stick our fingers in and pull them apart and insert choice. You guys with me there?
Yeah.
And what happens when we do that, we have now, instead of one door, black and white, good and bad, really fun, really evil, we've got 3 choices. This lady standing in front of 3 doors. I can go victim mentality, right? I can go survivor mentality, or I can go thrive mentality. When that guy cuts you off the road and that pushes your button, make up a story. His wife is about to give birth in the backseat, and you can't see her. She said, "Honey, get to the hospital." That's my wife's favorite story. But it works. And you know what? It's just as true as anything else because you don't know what's going on with that person. You've cut people off. I've cut people off. And so we've got a choice to say, you know what? I'm going to choose. So when you read this little book that Victor, that he wrote, he talked about people who, I mean, it was like 5 degrees. They had no shoes. They had tank top shirts. And if they slipped, they were getting beaten. Lunch, they ate once a day. And it was just a dirty colored water. And if they're lucky, they tasted a little bit of a potato. And so he said, in this, he said, even in this, he's, you know, this is a great quote. I'm not a product of my circumstances. I'm a product of my decisions. So he said that there'd be guys that he would see. And they would share their, they got a little nub of bread, smaller than a fist. And he goes, there'd be guys there who would share their bread after working 12 hours in their sleeping facilities. It was full of lice. There was no bed. They slept on the hardwood floor. I mean, they were just totally nothing. That's called stimulus, being in a Holocaust camp. Response is what? Being depressed, being a jerk, right? You're pushing my buttons. You're putting me in. He said, no! I'm a doctor. I saw people love other people in the camp. I saw people share food who had no food. You are not a victim of your circumstance. You're a victim of your choices. That's why we can thrive wherever we go. We're like that tree planted in that water. Circumstance can go up and down, but we can choose. This is it. This is the last one, you guys. Thrive is in your opportunity. How many of us have problems and challenges? Okay, one guarantee I make, you can leave if you want, it's 401. You want to go? I'm just promising you right now, I'm going to take away all your problems and challenges. So look, the doors are here and in the back, I'm serious, okay? If I don't, I'll take you out to dinner. If I don't get rid of all of your problems and challenges, I will take you out to dinner. You guys game?
Yeah.
Can you stick with me a few more minutes?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. What happened? You said get my credit card out? Okay, let's go, Dave. All right. So here we go. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lack anything. So, is pure joy thriving? Does anyone disagree that pure joy is thriving? Okay, so we're commanded by God to be joyful regardless, right? Because either things are going our way or they're maturing us, right? They're going the way we would think in our little human mind and perspective, or God's doing some really cool work behind the scenes. So this is what happens. Which one do you think? Something happens to you, right? You can't get in your room on the way back. Or you get into your room and someone stole all your stuff. Okay? I'm not a prophet, so don't worry. Okay? Here's the thing. Which way do you think this is looking at it? As a problem or challenge?
Problem.
I mean, sorry. Problem, challenge, or opportunity? This is the black part. Oh man, my room got broken into, man. I've got problems and challenges. What's up with this hotel? Right? Anybody ever feel guilty of that? You're freaking out. You're like, why me? This always happens. There's 4,000 people at this event. Why me? I mean, why did 209 get broken into? Why did it have to be my room? Honey, we have $1,000 insurance on our Amex for anything if a room ever gets broken into. What? Are you serious? Now, she gets to go out and shop and get all new stuff.
Is this a problem?
She hasn't worn an opportunity, what just happened. The challenges, I'm going shopping. I'm going to get me some new Thrive gear.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to that book table and buy me something too. See, to us, Joseph, which side did Joseph look on? Did Joseph see all the 17 years of craziness that went on with him as a problem or a challenge? Or did he look at it as an opportunity for him to maneuver to be in a place where God could use him in a powerful way? Which one? So when we have problems and challenges, what's wrong with this picture? The zipper's closed. We're not obeying James. We've lost sight of what God is doing behind the scenes. Anybody take a taxi in a foreign country? Anybody ever get in that taxi and just... Does anybody actually figure out where you should go in a foreign country? Like, do your homework. When we get in a taxi, we should go right and then left and then right and then... Does anyone do that? I hope not. I don't do that. But you do that? Okay, so you're really organized. That's good. Most of us, what do? We go to a foreign country. We get in a taxi. And we're like, woohoo! And we just go around the place and who knows where they're driving. And they show up. They go, you're here. We go, all right, cool. Anybody do that?
Yeah.
Right? How about we take a local taxi? Why are you going there? Go down that street. You are ripping me off. I can't believe you're ripping me off. No way. I'm not paying for that. Which way do you treat God as the taxi cab driver? There's an app called Waze. It knows the traffic jams. I don't question Waze anymore. When I question Waze, I lose. And I'm joking. I know serious stuff happens in life. I know James 1:2 is probably the most challenging scripture in the Bible. I get it. But it's our choice. When we say, I've got a problem or a challenge, it's a fear-based reaction that's unspiritual. If you want to keep it, I'll take you out to dinner. But if you'd rather look at things, pull it back. Have a couple stories in your head of times when you thought it was going to be terrible, but God worked it out for the good. Yeah. Have those handy. Keep them in your notes section. You know, and call it opportunity. People are going to think when you get out of here, go, man, I had a great opportunity, man. My dinner came, it was all wrong. Man, I just loved it. You know, and you, I can go on and on with examples, but try it. Are you guys willing to try it?
Yes.
So try calling it an opportunity and stop yourself. If you don't like that, you can call it a project. Okay, I had my kitchen flood 2 summers ago or last year, right? Oh my gosh, what a challenge it was. No, it was a project. Project sounds more faithful to me, right? All right, you guys, you're doing great. I got rid of them, so no more crisis. Only opportunity. God turns problems into opportunities. You can be like that or you can be like that. This is King Saul. When the time ran out and he sinned up and lost his kingdom. Who's that?
David.
Who? Oh, everyone said something different. You said David? David? I was thinking Joseph. Like, oh my gosh, my brothers are throwing me away. All right, cool. I got blamed for sleeping, right, with this woman, and I did it, so I'm going to jail. Cool. Because that means I'm going here. 1 step, 2 step, 3 steps, gets his brothers in, and what did he tell them? It all happened so that God could save you guys. Mom. You can choose this. I'm not saying it's automatic, but you can choose it. You guys, give yourselves a hand. We are done. I'm just going to make a few notes and then so you can know what to do. So I told you I would send you a copy of this. All I need you to do is on a piece of paper, hopefully you have a notebook that I gave to you guys or any piece of paper, please write your name, your email, and your cell phone and leave it on this white table up here. Is there a table in the back or no? All right, Seth, can you go out? My son's going to go out and collect them in the back. So Seth, if you could leave now and go this way. So this is my son. He's got a pink shirt on. You can give it to him in the back, okay? So if here's what's going to happen. I'm going to offer today, because of the conference, a 90-minute, if you want to learn more about this, obviously we just touched on it. If you want to talk about your own personal situation, if you want to talk about your life and how to master some of these skills, I'm offering a 90-minute free consultation. We can get into it. We can talk about what's going on. And then if you want to continue, great. If not, great. It'll be a really special time for me to get to know you. So if you want that, please write on the paper. Just say a coaching session, and I'll know what that means, and I'll call you and we'll schedule it, okay? The other thing that I wanted to let you know is this is the coaching program that I run. It's called The Joyful Life, and I just wanted, you're not going to be able to really see it. It'll be in my email to you, but this is the 12 weeks. This is what we do. We master joy. We master these principles that I brought up. And finally, we have mastermind groups. You're like, what's a mastermind group? It's when we get together with brothers and sisters, sometimes non-Christians. We tackle a book, 2 chapters a week for 7 weeks. We get encouragement, love, accountability, and then also learning. So if you're interested in mastermind groups, write that down on the paper too. I'll be starting a mastermind group in the fall called Thrive. All right, so we're going to do a Thrive mastermind group coming up in the fall. So please leave your papers on this table, or you can hand them to my son in the back. Again, your name, cell phone number, email, and what you'd be interested in, and I'll reach out. You guys, thank you so much. Have a great night.